Good afternoon. I'm John Hodgman, welcoming you to the View Along soundtrack for The Man with Feet. I am also assuming that you are doing this in the afternoon. At this time, please find Reel A in your Man with Feet envelope. You'll find the reel designation directly below the center hole when you have turned the reel so that the black triangle points directly up. While you are finding Reel A, I'll introduce you to the advanced chime, which sounds like this. When you hear that sound during our adventure, you'll advance your stereoscopic viewers to the next frame by pulling the lever straight down. But for now, with the text facing you and keeping the black arrow pointed straight up, press the reel down into the viewer slot until it stops. Next, pull the lever down one time only to advance to frame number one. At this point, you should see caption number one in the small window above the lenses. If you look inside the viewer, you should see a man in a laboratory reading a newspaper. After a short audio-only introduction, you will be prompted to look into your viewer. Please enjoy the program. Who is the man with feet? For one man, a routine trip to the shoe store changed more than his shoes. It changed his life. That day, Jack Strider splurged on a pair of tasseled loafers, which were more handsome and better fitting than another pair that happened to be on sale. He wore his new shoes out of the store, confidently tossing his old treads into a trash bin by the door. Little did he know that a meteorite was moving toward his feet at meteoric speed. In less than a second, his new shoes were destroyed by a football-shaped, but slightly larger, rock from across the solar system. In association with the U.S. government, a team of the world's best scientists and cobblers came together not only to rescue Strider's loafers, but also to enhance them until they were the most scientifically advanced shoes in the world. Now Jack wears his shoes to fight crime, and not just shoe-related crime, all kinds of crime. Now they call him the Man with Feet, which is an acronym for footwear-based electronically engineered emulation technology, though friends still call him Jack for the most part. Without advancing, please look into your stereoscopic viewer. No missions requiring the unique capabilities of feet had come into Shoe Lab for quite some time. The quiet hum of the computer consoles and the occasional beep or buzz were the only sounds to be heard. Lead scientist Dr. Amelia Swerner had finished her solar-powered moccasin experiments for the day and was now enjoying a chess match against feet's powerful and remarkably breathable insole-mounted computer. Jack Strider had just returned to the lab from his bank, where he'd applied for a charge card, successfully. He was finally relaxing with the newspaper when something in a photograph caught his eye.
Hey, I recognize this guy.
Dr. Swerner and Feet were too engaged in their game to hear. The CompuIntelligent loafers purposefully extended one of his robotic tassels, picked up his bishop, and moved it diagonally across the board. Feet's vocal indicator lit up as he took out Dr. Swerner's knight.
Checkmate. Would you like to surrender now, Dr. Swerner?
She tipped over her king.
Okay, I'll forfeit. After all, I designed your electronic brain, so in a way, I win too.
They all laughed. Even Feet, who was programmed to laugh at all of Dr. Swerner's jokes.
Dr. Swerner, I think I recognize this guy in the paper. Let's get Kincaid on the holocom screen.
As Jack grabbed Feet off the stool and put them on his feet, Dr. Swerner dialed up the comm screen for Davis Kincaid at the top-secret Agency Unit Bureau headquarters. Jack was surprised to see his boss appear playing a trombone.
You caught me practicing my big number for the AUB talent show. I came in second place last year. Well, in the trombone division, anyway.
Sounds fun. When's the show?
Come on! You know that's ultra-top secret. Do you know how many of our best men participate in that talent show? If our enemies were able to infiltrate the ventriloquists alone, our nation's security would be sunk.
After a brief recital of Kincaid's trombone program, which he introduced as
a strictly Sadaka medley,
Jack showed his boss the familiar face lurking in the background of the front page photo. Kincaid peered over his horn.
I recognize the guy in the front, Duvier. Big into the beach leisure business. Made a mint selling those multicolored inflatable vinyl spheres you see kids playing with down at the shore. But the other guy? I don't know.
Jack was sure he'd seen the mystery man before. Placing the newspaper on the floor, he asked Feet to use his quadrichromatic stylus to enhance the photograph. In moments, Feet added a mustache to the man's face, according to Jack's description, with astounding precision for a shoe.
Enhancement complete, Jack. Facial hair profile as requested. Profile match, Phlegm Sizigbo.
Phlegm Sizigbo? The international arms pirate whose glitteranium ring we broke up a few years ago.
Right, Dr. Swerner, but Sizigbo got away. Luckily, AUB agents seized all the glitteranium.
Kincaid slumped with embarrassment.
Well, about that, Jack. We didn't exactly get all of the glitteranium back.
What? That's not what you told me.
The fewer people who knew, the better. We didn't want to risk causing a panic.
How much glitteranium does Sizigbo have?
Enough to make 3 hugely destructive bombs.
But that means...
Yes, that's right. Enough glitteranium to make 5 somewhat destructive bombs.
Kincaid put down his trombone carefully.
Well, we can't let anyone find out just how somewhat destructive that is. Jack, get down to the Duvier factory and do some snooping. I think something a little fishy is happening at this beach ball party.
Jack Strider sprang into action. Forgetting that the hollow comm screen broadcasts in solid pseudomatter, he smacked his face right tele into Kincaid's trombone. After using Feet's integrated face scope to make sure his face was all right, Jack was on his way. Later at the Duvier Beach Ball Factory, Phlegm Sizigbo was close to getting rid of his glitteranium stash. He opened the cylindrical radio monitoring case to show Artemis Duvier the highly unstable fuel.
There it is. 3 full cakes of glitteranium, just like I promised.
Duvier clutched a beach ball roughly between his hands and gritted his teeth.
Very good, very good. After brunch tomorrow, we put Project Bravo into action!
Little did the conspirators know that by now Jack Strider, with help from Feet's sonocircuitry, was watching and listening from just outside the factory. Jack pressed the earpiece further into his ear. Little did he know, he was also being watched.
So, when do I get my money?
He heard Phlegm ask. But before he heard Duvier's answer, someone pounced on him. At this time, please remove real A and find real B. With the text facing you and keeping the black triangle pointed straight up, press the reel down into the viewer slot until it stops. Then pull the lever down, one time only, to advance to reel B, frame number 1. At this point, you should see caption number 1 in the small window above the lenses. If you look inside the viewer, you should see a man being attacked by a pair of shoes. Ready? Feet snapped into autonomous mode, leaping off Jack's feet and straight toward the guard who had attacked him. Though the man was strong and enraged about being attacked by a pair of empty loafers, he was ultimately no match for such highly advanced footwear. While Feet took care of the guard, Jack tried to pry open the lock on the service entrance with his new charge card, unsuccessfully. With the guard spooked and on the run, Feet quickly jumped back onto his partner's feet. Jack had been unable to get the door open with his charge card, so Feet did it for him. They entered the factory and snuck through its dark hallways until they found Artemis Duvier's office. Jack wanted to try picking a lock again, so he insisted on taking a whack at it. After several failed attempts, Feet grabbed the card out of Jack's hands and used it to open the lock. Jack sighed.
Oh, now I see what you did.
Jack dug through Artemis Duvier's files, looking for clues about Project Bravo. Just as he noticed that there was a folder missing between Project Braven and Project Bravup, Feet's alert light pulsed.
Jack, we're not alone.
Jack turned around to find a pretty young blonde woman hiding behind a fern. After Jack showed his AUB badge and explained that he was investigating Artemis Duvier, the woman identified herself as the Beach Ball King's daughter, Simone.
I also thought he was up to no good. I came to snoop around to see if it was something about the business. But it's worse. I think he's having an affair. Look!
Isabel, Elsa, Alice, Rosa, Ella. Do any of those names mean anything to you?
Well, I know the name Isabel from a story my father used to tell me.
Jack grabbed her shoulders and looked directly into her eyes.
What was it? That story could be a clue.
Well, it was sort of a story. It goes like this. Knock, knock.
I've heard that one. I doubt it's relevant.
Simone then introduced Jack to her dog, Marcel. Meanwhile, Feet tele-imaged the Project Bravo file back to AUB's computers. Jack figured that maybe one of Kincaid's ventriloquist pals would be able to decipher it. He sure couldn't. Who were these women? Was Duvier planning to hurt them? Did he even understand the awesome power he now possessed? Suddenly, the door to the office swung open, hitting the wall with a loud slap. There appeared Flegem Sizigbo, gun in hand. Simone threw her hands up and screamed, which sent little Marcel off and running. Jack pointed Feet toward the intruder, expecting the shoes to fire a laser or put up a force field. But almost as soon as Feet extended one of his tassel arms, it wilted like a wet noodle. A sad whirr could be heard as Feet's soul lights flickered, crackled, and then faded out. Smoke seeped out of the loafer's main loafing units.
Feet! What's wrong?
Sizigbo lunged, his gun pressed into Jack's chest.
Stop talking to your shoes and get moving.
Sizigbo led Jack, Feet, and Simone onto the beach ball factory floor at gunpoint. As he marched forward, he threw a switch that started the maze of machinery grinding. Jack looked for a way out, but saw none. All he could see were freshly minted beach balls moving on conveyor belts all around them before tumbling into a deep bin.
I've come too far to let you ruin this for me now. Get into the beach ball bin.
But it's filling up with...
Before she could finish, Sizigbo pushed her and Jack and Feet over the edge. They dropped 15 feet down into the hopper, landing with a squeaky thud on a rolling sea of beach balls.
Marcel! Marcel!
Marcel can't hear you, Simone. These walls are made out of acoustic-neutralizing aluminum.
As the bin gradually filled, the vinyl spheres rubbed back and forth against their skin, which soon led to some significant sweatiness and discomfort. The bin echoed with loud, annoying squeaks.
We've got to get out of here!
Jack coolly surveyed the scene.
You're right. I'm pretty sure these beach balls could eventually hurt us somehow. Maybe by strangulation? I don't know. One thing's for certain, Sizigbo wouldn't have thrown us in here if it weren't dangerous, or at least very inconvenient.
Dr. Swerner and Kincaid wondered why they'd lost contact with Feet and Jack.
I hope they're okay.
Fee must have powered down. I'm sure it was for a good reason.
I certainly hope so. Did you find out anything about those names?
I didn't. But one of our top agents and his dummy, Inspector Drippy, did. See? Isabel, Elsa, Alice, Rosa. They're not names of women. They're names of cities. Cities in Texas, all less than 120 miles away from the Rio Grande River.
I don't get it.
Our simulation shows that if 5 somewhat destructive glitteranium bombs were to explode at the underground aquifers nearest to those cities, the whole Rio Grande River would be diverted, and with it, the legal United States-Mexico border, thus creating hundreds of miles of new American beaches.
Where he could sell millions of dollars worth of beach balls, where could Jack be?
At this time, please remove Reel B and find Reel C. With the text facing you and keeping the black triangle pointed straight up, press the reel down into the viewer until it stops. Then pull the lever down one time only to advance to Reel C, frame number 1. At this point, you should see caption number 1 in the small window above the lenses. If you look inside the viewer, you should see Jack and Simone nearly smothered by beach balls. Ready? Jack and Simone were pressed tight in the beach ball bin when a wave of puffy plastic crushed down between them. Simone seemed to be folded into a curtain of primary colors, crowding Jack's vision until she was gone.
We're done for!
Then Feet suddenly powered on again.
Feet activated. Diagnostic completed. Hello, Jack.
Feet! I can't reach you!
At that very moment, Simone's hand appeared.
Simone, can you grab Feet's accessory pack?
Yes! Got it!
Good. Now find the microphone module and plug it into Feet's left audio input. Set his frequency transposition to 50.965.
How do I do that?
Also in the accessory pack is an instruction manual.
Time was running out. Luckily, because of Dr. Swerner's brilliant scientific mind, Feet's instruction manual was very clear and well-written. Also, she had taken the time to make a truly useful index and troubleshooting guide. It took no time at all for Simone to set the frequency transposition delay.
Now what?
Call your dog. Feet can now bypass the acoustic neutralizing.
Marcel, halt all Beach Mall production.
Marcel heard Simone's Feet modulated cry and stopped the assembly line, as he'd been trained to do in case of an emergency. Jack and Simone were celebratory as Feet used his grappling tassel to hoist them out of the bin and back onto the factory floor, where they were reunited with Marcel.
Good boy!
After watching the dog lick Simone's face for a few minutes, Jack spoke up.
I've got to get back to Shoe Lab. Let's go.
They ran out of the factory, surprised to find it was already morning.
Now what?
Do you know where your dad eats brunch?
Sure, Mr. Brunch, over by the airport.
Okay, meet me there between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Will do. Be careful, Jack.
Jack ran back to Dr. Swerner's lab in seconds, thanks to both Feet's hyper-accelerative souls and the fact that the factory was just a few doors down. Dr. Swerner rushed to him.
Thank heavens you're safe.
Jack quickly settled into his chair at the shoeshine stand.
I'm fine. I think it's Feet that needs a little help.
As Dr. Swerner worked with intense focus, Jack filled her in on his theory.
Remember when Szigbo got away that first time a few years ago? Feet malfunctioned right when we were storming his warehouse by the docks. We never figured out why. But I now see that he only failed when we got close to the Glitteranium. Same thing this time. Some kind of radioactivity from that stuff is causing the malfunctions.
Dr. Swerner was one step ahead of Jack.
I'll give Feet a buffing with this brown shoe polish and anti-isotopal agent. Then he can get as close to that Glitteranium as you want.
After several minutes more of work, Dr. Swerner leaned back.
That should do it.
Looks nice.
I bet you say that to all the shoes,
said Feet, who was programmed to make that joke. Szigbo and Duvier were at Mr. Brunch, eating brunch.
You gonna give me the money now, Duvier?
Suddenly, Jack appeared as if from nowhere, but was actually in the next booth over.
Sorry to break this up, fellas.
Szigbo and Duvier threw plates of huevos rancheros and a chicken club, respectively, into Jack's face and Feet's sensors, respectively. Before Jack and Feet had gotten their bearings, the criminals had paid their check, gotten on motorcycles, and taken off with the Glitteranium. Jack and Feet ran out and quickly commandeered a citizen station wagon.
Hey.
They screeched into action, chasing the two crooks at high speeds through the streets of the city, causing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage and seriously injuring four pedestrians. Eventually, Feet's fancy driving moves knocked the crooks off their bikes. Duvier scrambled to grab the Glitteranium and get away. Unfortunately for the bad guys, they were now on foot. And on foot is where Feet is at his best. Before they knew it, the criminals were caught in a laser lace beam. As a policeman booked Duvier, binding him in handcuffs, Simone approached slowly.
Daddy? But why? Why would you want to hurt all those people? Just to sell beach balls in what would then be formerly Mexico?
I'm sorry, my darling. I was worried that there would never be a comprehensive free trade agreement. I guess I took things too far.
Jack shook his head.
Don't you know that diverting waterway-defined international borders is never a good way to solve anything?
I know now. Now I know. Simone, tell your mother I love her.
I'm not sure you really love anyone but yourself.
Marcel barked in agreement. Szigbo and Duvier were now behind bars, and the Glitteranium was safely sequestered in an AUB vault. Simone and Marcel met Jack, Dr. Swerner, and Feet at Shoe Lab for a celebratory gelatin dessert potluck. Kincaid joined the fun through the hollow comm screen, enlivening the party with his talent show award-winning trombone performance. Even Feet was enjoying himself.
I am having what I believe common American slang would refer to as a ball.
Don't say ball!
The group exploded with laughter. Feet laughed too, because he was programmed to laugh at the joke at the end of each of his adventures. The end.